Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kelleflefter, the home of the Suns run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sun Station. The Clippers proved to be long-range snipers.
Out to Rondo, and he hits a three.
Wow, that's the guy you want to shoot him.
And with CP3 out of the lineup, the Suns turn to their superstar to carry them to a Game 1 win.
Pass out front, Bridges picks it off. Two on one, Bridges to Booker to Bridges. Wham, bam, slam.
Talking the Suns up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals. Now.
Party people!
Yeah! And the Suns with the last look. 10 seconds remaining in the half. Payne out on top. 7 seconds to get a shot. Give it to Booker. Booker on the drive. Booker's shot. It's good. 15-footer up and in. 2.2 seconds remain. Clippers will inbound it as the half comes to an end, and the Suns have a three-point lead, and the fans love it.
Two of the 40 for Devin Booker last night, or yesterday afternoon, I should say. Al McCoy on the call. Booker goes for a triple-double. Suns win game one of the Western Conference Finals, 120 to 114. And about that production piece on the way in, yeah, long-range snipers. Mm-hmm. The Clippers certainly filled that role yesterday. 23 pointers made between the playoffs and the regular season for the Clippers, Bic. That was their seventh game that they've made 20 or more three-pointers, and the first one they've lost.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that? Yeah, I don't know what to add to that. That's interesting.
But again, a good sign for the Suns when you can overcome that type of shooting performance. And Paul George, I thought for a lot of the game, was just masterful.
Would you think of tag team's performance, by the way, Vinny?
I can check that off my box now. I got to introduce tag team before a performance.
Wow.
I liked it. I liked that they had fun with the whole Geico commercial.
So did
that
I.
They ended with sprinkles. I liked that. That was cool.
Right. They did the whole chocolate chip peanut butter cookie dough whole lyric.
Then they changed the lyric to Scoop.
To Scoop.
It was fun. I was hoping they would bring out the woman from the commercial who dances on the commercial, because that makes me laugh every single time I see it.
Same.
Still.
Same.
Yeah. It is open phone time, as we do the day after Suns playoff games. It's been a while since we've talked about a Suns playoff loss. They've won eight straight now. 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Let's go straight out to Phoenix and talk to Michael here on Bickley and Murata. What's up, Michael?
Good morning, gentlemen. Nice to speak with you today. I think that to encapsulate everything, I really appreciated Mikal Bridges. You mentioned it earlier. But I like the mentality of not acting like it's your first time. That alley-oop was, I mean, it brought the house down when it occurred. But just the way, the look on his face, Mikal's face, when he just came up the court, just another day at the office. I'm saying what a lot of people have said over the last few weeks. This is the best Phoenix Suns team this state has ever seen, and it's their defense that spurs everything else on. So it's just a pleasure and a joy to watch and to hear you all talking about it as eloquently as you do. So thank you, Matt.
That's nice.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah, I mean, we have talked about that. Well, and I think when you see that score that the Clippers put up at 114, you're like, oh, it wasn't a great defensive performance. I think the Suns played well on defense again. I think the Clippers' level of shot-making was on point for much of the game. But you look at the overall percentage, 45.5%.
Yeah.
The Suns are uniquely equipped, and everybody talked about their rankings, top, you know, being a top six team both offensively and defensively. That was on display yesterday because the Suns shot 55% from the floor.
And the Clippers are very good defensively,
too. Yes, they are.
That third quarter was just breathtaking because it was just exquisite shot-making. Exquisite.
Oh, you had Paul going off on one end. You had Booker answering everything he did. It was two of the best at it right now. And I was really Paul George comes in, you know, with a lot of playoff baggage, and he's earned a lot of it. But he's been spectacular on this run for the Clippers.
And I couldn't believe that the play, the two-on-one with Booker and Bridges, when Booker gave the ball up on an alley-oop. Now, I don't know whether if he was assist hunting at that moment of time. It was pretty late in the game to be assist hunting, but he was at, that's all he needed for a triple-double.
But
was one assist at that point.
That wasn't his last assist, though.
But
he got one more.
He would have got it anyway. He did. That is very true. But to me, more to the point, the fact that Mikal Bridges didn't go, oh my goodness, he's alley-ooping the ball to me?
Yeah.
Him?
Well, Bridges also had that play, too, where he got the ball kind of on the right wing, and the C's parted. and I had a perfect view of the defense. And, you know, he put the ball on the floor, and I think he wanted to give it up or maybe shoot the three, and he just drove to the basket. Nobody picked him up, and he had that dunk, too. He was huge down the stretch.
Yeah, he was.
602-260-9870 out to Gilbert. Tom is up next here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Tom.
Gentlemen, thank you again for allowing me to participate in the greatest show in sports radio. First of all, happy belated Father's Day to both of you. I hope you had a great weekend.
Thank you.
I want to say right from the start, as not an apologist, but to offer an apology, I was the guy 3 years ago that said Devin Booker was an empty stat sheet, that he wasn't making the players around him better, and his greatness wasn't even. I was that guy. I was the one that argued with you on Twitter and made the statements to everybody else and questioned whether he deserved a max contract that in his career. I would like to say I was wrong. Maybe not wrong in the moment, but wrong about the player. And I believe that this is a tale that one of the Suns owners in dreads sitting on the side should take back to the Cardinals and say, this is what you get when you pair a great player like Devin Booker, like Kyler Murray, with an experienced professional that can get in the kid's ear. What he did yesterday was spectacular. And 20 years from now, it is my greatest hope that people don't say he's Kobe-esque, but people then compare other players to him and say, just like that kid Booker, before calling it out. Have a great day, guys.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Tom's not alone in being wrong on that.
No.
And the way he said it is correct. Wrong in the moment.
But not wrong overall. Yeah.
But that's what we had always talked about, even in the lean days with Devin Booker, on this show anyway, is despite the lack of wins, despite the lack of support around him, you could see this a guy who the fire burned very, very hot inside him. And it came out a lot. I mean, there were moments somebody brought up on Twitter, the 2017 game where he went off for 46 points in Philadelphia against Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, the 70-point game, the preventing of Russell Westbrook from breaking the triple-double record in Phoenix when the Suns really didn't have much to play for other than protecting their turf, and he took great pride in that.
Yeah.
The guy's wired differently.
He is.
And for some, it was evident earlier than others. That's all. Am I surprised that we're sitting here talking about Devin Booker, taking over a game in the Western Conference Finals? A little bit, but that's more team-oriented than individually-oriented. I've never doubted Devin Booker. This ascension has been such a pleasant surprise and a 180-degree turnaround that 2 years ago, we were talking about, another draft lottery pick. Here we go after a 19 win. So the timetable makes it hard to believe. The individual doesn't make it hard to believe.
Yeah, I agree with that. It was a spectacular moment for him, and it was a game in which you realize that, okay, you know what? He's got that thing about him where he was just not going to let his team lose, and that's a rare trait. A lot of people will say that, but to actually be able to impact the basketball game based on the fact that you are not going to let this happen to your basketball team. He was really flashed that kind of elite level will. And Monty Williams, that's what he called it. He said, we all witnessed Devin Booker's will tonight. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. 602-260-9870, the phone number out to Tempe. Sally's up next here on Bickley and Murata. Hi, Sally.
Hey, Vinny. I want to say Chris Paul might have not been in the building, but his spirit was. When Devin went and did those 16 mid-range court shots, and the only reason he got the triple-double was because that team is so unselfish. Six players in double digits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and if you look at the assist totals, thanks for the call, Sally, 11 for Book, 9 for Cameron Payne. Everybody but Cameron Johnson and Torrey Craig had at least two assists that played yesterday.
Yep.
And I think Sally brings up a good point, too. I'll go cheesy pop culture here. You know, I'm a Karate Kid fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the original Karate Kid was great. The sequels were not great. But now Cobra Kai is back. Mr. Miyagi is not in the episodes, but his spirit is in the episodes.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
But there's truth to it, again, because of the constant...
Different, but same.
The constant teaching from Chris Paul obviously sunk in to a level where, okay, I'm going to miss a day or two. Can you guys do this without me? And they proved they could do it without
him. Yeah. And that's the, and they there's a real desire to do it without him for him, which is really cool.
Greg in Gilbert is up next here as we continue on the phones at 602-260-9870. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, guys. Hey, Vince. I saw Mr. Miyagi at the Suns game.
His spirit was there, too?
Yeah, he was there. I sat next to him.
Pat Morita, really?
Yeah. Now, hey, I've been in Arizona since 55, back when the population was about 100,000 in Phoenix, and lifelong Suns fan. And I'm just so proud of Devin Booker and how hard he works, how far he's developed his game. And Stephen A. is late to this party of him looking the most like Kobe. We've known that for a long time here in Phoenix. But one thing that, you know, and especially with when you see these guys in the final eight teams in the playoffs that can't even make a free throw or shoot a jump shot, you know, it just really makes you appreciate Devin, how hard he works. But I have a question for you, Vinny. If I don't know if you saw this, but it was about the first time that Boogie Cousins got the ball and, you know, kind of knocked Dario down. But it looked like that after he had kind of, you know, put the ball up and as Dario was falling back, mm-hmm. it looked like that Cousins put his hands on Dario's face and actually pushed him down. But nobody ever said a thing of that. I don't know if it was just, you know, the angle that I saw that made it look like that, and that's not really happened.
You're talking about the dunk when Boogie dunked on Dario?
Yeah.
Yeah, I you know, I did go home, and I didn't see it on the court. We appreciate the phone call, Greg. I didn't see it on the court in real time, but I went back and watched the broadcast. And I did think that there was a little bit of extension from the arm, but there was certainly a foul on Dario's part, too. So
yeah.
Yeah. I thought DeMarcus Cousins gave them a lift in the first half, and then mm-hmm. he just turned into a foul machine in the second half.
Imagine that.
Yeah, 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Ryan's been waiting. He's in Queen Creek. He's up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Good morning, fellas. I just want to say it's been a long time. It's just so exciting. I'm 41. I remember going to the Madhouse on McDowell. I went to a finals game in 93. My family scrounged up all extra cash they could and sent me and my older cousin to go watch. And, you know, just to live it again, it's just it's so exciting.
That's cool.
I'm so happy. I'm just so elated beyond anything. So
yeah.
I appreciate everybody. Have a great day.
Thanks for
Ryan.
Your energy, man. Appreciate
yeah.
that.
Yeah, going back to it's starting to feel a little bit like 93 yep. around here.
Yep. A little bit. Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. The each one of these games has been incredible in terms of volume, in terms of passion, in terms of engagement. There were times last night when that crowd sounded louder than any Suns game I've ever been to in my life. And it's just it's crescendoing. It's an avalanche, and it's hard to stop. And fans know that they're part of this, which is why it adds to the gratitude. Because not only are they cheering a winning basketball team that's, you know, killing people, they feel like they're part of it, and that's a cool thing.
Look, I know you wrote about this on Arizona Sports for today, following the Game 1 win, and we're starting to talk about how things feel and how possible things are. And I'm real cautious to put the cart in front of the horse. But, you know, I said it's starting to feel like 93. 93 was really special for anybody that was here and lived it. But there was that roadblock. There was that Michael Jordan roadblock. Not a speed bump, but mm-hmm. a roadblock.
No
and
doubt.
He absolutely dominated that final series. In terms of fortuitous twists and turns for the Phoenix Suns, even with everything they've dealt with Chris Paul. There's been a lot of them. There's not that roadblock that's in place right now.
No, and that's why it feels like this is going to be our year. This is going to be Chris Paul's year. This is going to be Monty Williams and Jay. It just feels like this has got to be the time it's going to happen. And the basketball team seems to be as hungry, if not more hungry, than we are. Which is good,
yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah, it's got to be at least matched, but I think you're right. They're feeding off this and just handling things in such a professional way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to throw this out there just yet, but I'll throw it out there now because I did the research. 8 straight wins in the playoffs, Bick, for the Suns. There's been 16 times in the history of the NBA playoffs where a team has gone on an eight game or longer winning streak. And that's over the course of the same postseason. Of the previous 15, 9 of them went on to win the championship.
Wow.
Which I don't know if that's overwhelming or not overwhelming. It's over 50%.
Yeah.
And that's 8 games is halfway to a championship.
One of the things that I speculated on after getting past the roadblock of the Lakers and LeBron James was, is this going to put incredible momentum at this team's back, and are they just going to start rattling off victories? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what's happening here. And there's a feeling that this team is still growing. Monty Williams even said it yesterday. He's like, we don't have playoff experience for the most part, so we don't even talk about it. He had a great pregame analogy. He said, you might want your teeth to grow faster, and they won't. They grow at their own pace. That's what he said. I'm like, that's a really good, because he gets very down-homesy and folksy sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Basketball is a get-to, not a got-to, can't get happy on the farm, all that stuff.
Everything's on the other side of hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that stuff. And it's, I think that in the case, there's been a youthful exuberance, but also a we got this kind of attitude from these guys, and just it's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll continue on the phones. Drew in Mesa is up next here on Bickley and Murata. Go ahead, Drew.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I've been an Arizona sports fan long enough, so I actually hate to feel this way, but I'm still half expecting David Stern to feel our enjoyment and have something written in his will where we've got to suspend Booker for a couple of games now. I'm hoping that proves to not be true. But looking at yesterday's game, when you look at the made threes and the made free throws that L.A. had, and they were a plus 26 over the Suns, and the Suns are still able to come out on top. I was just a kid in 93. I still watched the finals, but I wasn't old enough, obviously, to know, and you guys probably would. But looking at this team from top to bottom and just the different ways along with the coaching that they can just beat somebody, it seems to me that it's an insurmountable force. If you want to try and take away one thing, they're going to beat you with the other two. Ayton did it on the defensive side, in the first two rounds. And now he can't be stopped. If we need to get the ball inside because the three's not going, or they're taking away Book for a couple of possessions, they're able to do that. And I just don't see another team around that doesn't have a gimmick or doesn't have one go-to where if that's an off night for them, they're just not going to win. The Suns are able to find many different ways to beat you.
Yeah, that's
totally agree.
And they can play different kind of ways. I just marvel at the player DeAndre Ayton has become. He's just playing now with such force, it's hard to even ever imagine the way he used to play. He's passing the ball with authority.
Mm-hmm.
He's not locked up in his own head. He's dunking on people.
Well, he's doing a much better job of catching the ball in traffic than he did at times in the regular season. He's dialed in.
There was an alley-oop play in that game to him where it was sort of like a scrambling play. And they fired an alley-oop just sort of randomly up to him, and he caught it and dunked it. It just shows how engaged he is now.
Even that call, even when he was called on the offensive foul for going over the back on the tip-in, I wanted to give him a standing ovation on that play alone for being that active, for going and jumping into contact. I mean, that's everything he wouldn't do before.
Well,
it's amazing to me how fast he's grown. Somebody tweeted out something very, very funny, and he said, for all the talk about Torrey Craig, the most unheralded trade deadline acquisition was DeAndre Ayton going out and getting himself a son. and getting some of that dad strength.
Just make sure you remind him.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I am a father.
Oh, yeah.
I got time for a couple more. Ray's in Phoenix. He's up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Hey, Ray.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to go back to DeAndre Ayton. As a big man myself, got to give the guy, like, come on, he's feeding off this energy, and you just see him grow every single game. The guy is catching whatever. What's amazing to me, what happened last year, he kept the ball down low a lot,
mm-hmm.
and they swiped at it a lot. Now he's putting the ball up, putting it in the hoop, and he's doing it quick. You know, I think he knows, you know, his athleticism now, how fast he's putting the ball in the hoop. And, you know, a quiet 20. He didn't even play as much minutes as he usually does. And he had a quiet 20. You know, he had 9 rebounds, almost a double-double. Like, how amazing is that to have a big man finally in Phoenix putting in some work? You know, it's been a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And then that's all, guys. You guys have a good
Thank
day.
You,
Thanks,
Appreciate
Ray.
That.
Appreciate it. Yeah, 20 and 9. It's interesting that Ray used the word quiet, because in that quiet 20, there was a lot of loud dunks.
Oh, yeah.
Six of his 10 baskets were dunks, and that wasn't just a real polite drop it in dunk. There was a couple times where he almost ripped the whole basket down.
Yeah, there were two on it, and it's, again, I'm just watching it. I'm like getting goosebumps. I'm like, get after it, my man.
Yeah.
I like the way Ray used the phrase as a fellow big man.
Ray might be a
seven-footer
trying to audition.
I'd love to later on get into that story that DA penned for the Players Tribune and how he hates being called big in any variety of it. We'll tell that story later. It's really good.
Alex in Scottsdale's got the last word in this caller segment. Go ahead, Alex.
Boys, what a day.
Yes.
Since everyone's saying hi to Vinny, Bick, let me say, how's the hair? Short shriveled to the left, just like I thought. Boys, I've been in the Valley all my life, before Jared Carlin's terrible song parodies. I'm 34. I grew up getting made fun of wearing Cardinal jerseys and Suns shirts to school. But here we are. And it's a beautiful thing to say, even with a terrible owner, things can be done. You know, we all thought James Jones was a terrible GM, or was going to be a terrible GM, and literally he won GM of the year. And so you look at DeAndre Ayton, everybody thought he was going to be a bust, so why didn't we pick Luka? You know, now look at DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
Everybody, Chris Paul, the guy's injury plague. There's no chance. He's terrible in the playoffs. Well, here we are, boys, once again, 7 wins away from a championship, and it feels a little bit like 92-93, except we don't have one guy carrying us. We literally have a whole team carrying us. And, you know, the only thing I can really say is, shut up, Jared!
Thanks, Alex. With authority,
well done, Alex.
Too. You can win a pair of tickets to Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Just text the word ticket to 620-620. Listen for your name every hour starting at 7 a.m. tomorrow for your chance to win Phoenix Suns playoff tickets. That's ticket to 620-620. All those people clamoring for tickets, great way to maybe get your hands on a couple for Game 2
about that?
On Tuesday night. Coming up next, we'll continue to talk the Suns' Game 1 win over the Clippers. We'll be joined by our Suns insider, Kellen Olson, from ArizonaSports.com. Next, it's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Arizona Sports, breaking news.
Yeah, this just in, and it's related to the Arizona Cardinals. TMZ Sports reporting the Cardinals linebacker, Zaven Collins, first-round draft pick, was arrested last night after cops say he was driving recklessly. It's been confirmed by TMZ Sports. There's not a whole lot of details other than that. He was booked and later released. Doesn't even have a location, whether this was in Oklahoma, whether it was in Arizona.
No, it's in Arizona. Yeah, the story I'm reading was stopped by officers in Arizona.
There we go. There we go. Okay. Yep. Yeah. I overlooked it because it just says AZ.
Yeah, AZ. That's pretty lazy, isn't it?
Not proper
TMZ. You can't write out Arizona,
right? Yeah, so that is the latest.
Not good judgment, at the very least.
More details as they become available. But Zaven Collins arrested Sunday night and released a short time later. Of course, Suns, the big story for today. They're up 1-0 in the Western Conference Finals over the L.A. Clippers. And here to talk Suns basketball with us from ArizonaSports.com, the one, the only, Kellen Olson on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. Kellen, how are you?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for having me.
Give us your best adjective to describe the performance of Devin Booker on Sunday.
Certainly not reckless. it was fantastic. I think something that became obvious for me, at least, when I was watching back the three games these teams played against each other, was that the Clippers just aren't as airtight on their defensive rotations as a team like Phoenix. And Phoenix might be the best team in the league at it, but the Clippers are just often loose. And that's something that you risk when you're switching so much, because there's not enough communication. You can't even have enough communication to recover the way that you need to in those types of situations. And it was going to be, I was curious to see if that carried over to the first meeting between these teams in the Western Conference Finals. And even in the first couple of minutes, when we saw the Suns generating good looks but not getting them to fall, you could see that was still the case, where the Clippers' recoveries off of passes and stuff just weren't good enough. And the thing that we've seen about the Suns really ever since the midway point of that Lakers series is that they hit their true form and just their highest ceiling as an offensive team, playing point five, everyone knowing what they have to do as ball movers, and then just moving themselves physically as well around the court. And you look at 31 assists and 7 turnovers, that was led by Book. And then at some point, like mid-second quarter, with the way Payne and Booker as well were both dissecting the defense, it just became clear, like, this is too easy for them right now. And the Clippers are going to have to find another answer. And their answer, unfortunately, they couldn't have one, because Book got scorching hot in that third quarter, and in the fourth quarter they had to send extra attention his way, or else he was going to just keep scoring on him.
Yeah.
And he kept just making the right pass. He got assist after assist, and they just added up, and that's what a superstar does.
All right. There was a return to normalcy in the arena. Kellen Olsen and others were allowed to sort of actually take part in something of a real live press conference afterwards. And I thought it was fascinating listening to various accounts of Chris Paul's involvement and just everything that sort of went into the stew of playing game one without Chris Paul. Your thoughts on all of that?
That was the big question for me in this first game, was not only looking at Chris Paul not being on the court, but even when he's not playing, he is coaching everything. Dan, you're there with me, sitting next to me during these games, and you'll see him just on the bench coaching pretty much. He just basically turns into an assistant coach when he gets on the bench, and when he's a coach on the floor as well. He just never stops talking to really anyone about what's going on during the game. So that is something that you just inevitably you get used to, right? You get used to having that extra assistance from someone like Chris to help you put together the game over the course of it, and they were just without it. And I mean, he was just left at home just to watch the game, and the Suns were going to be missing that part of his contribution. And I think that the Suns at this point are just such a well-oiled machine as a team that it really didn't matter that much. And I think something that Gamble brings up a lot is, like, styles make fights, right? And looking at this matchup specifically, with the way the Clippers defend and what I mentioned previously, it's just such a great matchup for the Suns with the way they move the ball. And that just makes missing Chris hurt a little less. But there were certainly moments in that game where they miss him. Speaking to those interactions, Dan, Jay Crowder said the last 3 minutes were certainly a moment where he looked around and was like, man, where the hell is Chris right now? Like, they could really use him right now. And you just get used to him bailing you out of those fourth quarters or just locking it up in the fourth quarter so many times. But they didn't need him last night because they had Devin Booker.
Yeah. Kellen Olsen, our guest here on the Coulter Automotive Group Sports Line. In the absence of Chris Paul, it went the way we expected it to, or at least I expected it to, with Cameron Payne getting the start, Etuan Moore as the first guard off the bench. I thought Cameron Payne played well, certainly better later than early in the game. Etuan Moore kind of struggled in his 10 minutes and 44 seconds. If Chris Paul can't go in game two, would you expect Monty to stick with Etuan as that third guard?
I think so. I think he'll give him one more game.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with Etuan is that his one – you talk about how far we are in the playoffs, right? Like, we're in the Western Conference Finals, and at this point – any little weakness in a team or a player just gets exploited relentlessly. We saw it with Rudy Gobert last round. And Etuan's thing is he just doesn't have a lot of speed. And you saw Patrick Beverley, Reggie Jackson, Rondo, whoever it was, when they were guarding him, they were all over him and just not allowing him to get any space because they know that he can't really create it. And then on the defensive end, Reggie Jackson blew by him a couple of times. Uh-huh. And that's the type of thing where you look at Javon Carter, at least defensively, where he could help them. But the problem with switching to Javon as opposed to Etuan is that Etuan is a much more sound player off the dribble. And that's not really where Javon's game is. He's not much of a point guard in that regard. He's a better shooter, though, and he's obviously the better defender. So I think that balancing act will be interesting. I wonder if Monty makes some rotation changes later in the series to the point of just seeing more point book. When he went on that huge scoring run at the end of the third, that was without a point guard on the floor, and then, of course, he closed the game with that as well. Mm-hmm. I wonder if he looks for those little pockets of space to not include Moore or Carter or Payne, because he already did in that game.
When you went back and started doing your video review of Game 1, what other observations jumped out at you upon second viewing?
I think it's one of those things, Dan, when you watch the Clippers really trying to work the Marcus Morris postgame and the DeMarcus Cousins postgame, and you go like, man, this seems kind of desperate. Like, you guys are just looking, they felt like Marcus Morris was a really good matchup against Torrey Craig, who's like a great defender, and I think all of us here would disagree with that. But they don't really have any other options offensively. That's just where they're at without Kawhi Leonard. When you have a team built like that around two superstars, you don't have much in the third, fourth, fifth options. And they were just looking for a lot of offense in other areas. I think the thing that gets lost in that game and the way that Devin just took it over and finished it is that if Paul George wasn't playing as phenomenally as he was for those three quarters, we're talking about that typical run-of-the-mill Suns game where they're up 8 to 15 points pretty much the entire time, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the type of game that it was. And the shots that Paul George was hitting were ridiculous. They were really well defended. I thought they did a pretty good job defending him overall. I'm curious to see if they start to trap him or blitz him. DeAndre was dropping on ball screens when Zubac was in, and that was giving George space to pull up into his three. But outside of that, they made it really difficult on him, and I just wonder how the Clippers can score without that. You look at these three series that we've seen, and that's been the big question for the opposition in all three of them now. I think it'll be is just how can they create more offense. The Nuggets struggled with it, the Lakers did, and I think the Clippers are going to as well.
Yep. Kellen, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Kellen Olson, ArizonaSports.com. And I'm not just saying this. You really will not find any better Suns coverage than you're going to find on ArizonaSports.com during this playoff
very
run.
That's very true. In fact, after the game was over, it was at halftime, and I sit right next to Kellen, a young Suns fan came up and just wanted to shake Kellen's hand and thank him for the great content. And that's a sign when you are reaching people.
Yeah. I can't speak to anybody else and how they cover games, mm-hmm. but I before the game yesterday, I kind of stand up and I stretch out before the game and I looked around. And Kellen Olson comes down from the media section. He comes down to an empty seat, mm-hmm. and he is so intently watching everything that's going on in warm-ups, how guys are stretching, how they're shooting. He is so in tune with everything that's going on.
No, it's the hours he puts into the job are the reason why that content is what it is.
To summarize,
he should be applauded for that.
To summarize,
what a dork!
Yeah, Jarrett's back in case you're just tuning in. Coming up next, the Suns weren't completely shut out of postseason awards in the NBA. We'll tell you why next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of the Suns' run to the championship. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station, and the Arizona Sports app. Suns playoff coverage presented by Four Peaks Kilt Lifter. Bickley and Murata talk Suns Clippers now.
Now, that was the audio yesterday from James Jones prior to the game. They surprised James Jones by bringing his kids to center court along with Robert Sarver. They wished him a happy Father's Day, and then Robert Sarver presented James Jones with a jersey that had the number 21 on it for the year 2021 with the name Champ, and then EOY, Executive of the Year. It was made official today. James Jones wins that award. Mm-hmm. Well-deserved, and I think we've kind of been bracing for that in what has been a disappointing postseason for the Suns in terms of honors bestowed upon them. I think mm-hmm. we can agree on that. Chris Paul finishing fifth in MVP voting. Devin Booker not on an all-NBA team. Monty Williams not winning Coach of the Year.
Bridges not defensive player.
Exactly.
All-defensive player team. Yeah, I honestly believe James Jones was the most no-brainer of them all, and it turned out to be an incredibly close vote. And that's just indicative of the new money and the new feel of everything coming out of Phoenix. If they back this up next year, I think they'll be this stuff will be much more easily won by the Suns.
Yes.
For what it's worth.
But that probably wouldn't, like, if the Suns achieve the ultimate goal here, it probably lessens James Jones' notoriety, if you will, for next year. Because, I mean, they're obvious, they've arrived already. What I was surprised by is that this was a close vote.
Yeah.
James Jones finished with 9 first-place votes, 5 second-place votes, and 5 third-place votes. Dennis Lindsay of Utah finished with 9 first-place votes, 5 second-place votes, and 1 third-place vote. So there's only a 4-point difference in the voting. And Utah had a very good year, but Utah didn't really do much in terms of roster construction from year to year. The only big piece they added to that, rotation piece they added to that puzzle was Derek Favors, who had been in Utah mm-hmm. and now is back in Utah and played a bit of a role for them. So I was a little surprised it was that close.
And Utah was good last year.
They were good last year. I didn't understand that voting. There was a lot of guys that got votes, though. But at the heart of it, James Jones is the executive of the year. And again, we had a caller bring that up. When James Jones got that job, initially it wasn't, hey, you're the GM. It's you're in the basketball operations department. You're going to work with Ryan McDonough. And I think people were intrigued by that because James Jones being fresh out of the league, his experience being a great teammate on very good teams, championship level teams, like, okay, let's groom him for the job. And I think he became GM quicker than a lot of people expected.
Mm-hmm.
But man, this past year has been, you know, his fingerprints are all over it by going out and getting Chris Paul, the big piece. But that really, those seeds were planted the previous offseason. Mm-hmm. When you go out and get a Ricky Rubio, which made that Chris Paul trade possible in the first place. If it's a 2-year plan, it's worked out wonderfully for James Jones. Much deserved.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think there have been a lot of things that have fallen into place, but what I think James Jones has really shown is an ability to build the right kind of culture, which everybody is raving about. Now, in fact, one of the more interesting cuts Devin Booker talked about yesterday were about how much he loves culture. And I'd love to find those at some point in time. I thought it was fascinating. He talked about being a kid who grew up in one place and then suddenly moved somewhere else where the environment was much different, much more hardcore. And it's exactly what he needed. He came from Michigan to Southern California, I believe. And
he went to Moss Point, Mississippi.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. And that's exactly right. Sorry about that. But he spoke of that. And I think the culture is the number one thing. And then the team building is the other thing. Finding the right vets to put around these young pieces that were drafted successfully.
I think I found this Booker cut. Here was Devin Booker. Hopefully this is the right
one. It's a product of my environment. You know, I always credit, you know, the different situations that I've lived in and growing up in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and then moving to Moss Point, Mississippi. You know, for me at that time, that was a big culture shock. You know, just two totally different demographics. But, you know, I fell in love with culture, you know, of figuring out people and, you know, why they act the way they are, and it's usually where they're from. You know, so just being a sponge to it, being a sponge to everybody around me, everybody I grew up with, and, you know, just seeing different things and just loving culture and loving people. So that's where it came from.
Yeah, it's not a real common transition from Michigan to Mississippi.
No.
And then right to Kentucky.
But that also kind of echoes and parallels Kobe Bryant in that way, where Kobe, Philadelphia and Italy and Los Angeles is mm-hmm. quite a different, you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of comparisons.
The other great thing about James Jones that he did, you talked about surrounding the team with the right veterans and the superstar and stuff, is he went and got the superstar at the right time. Didn't listen to fans and us media about, like, when he should make that big trade. He knew when the right time was to make the big move.
Well, I mean, for the unbelievable job he's done in putting this team together, again, there's credit to others involved. And some of that credit goes to the NBA for coming up with a plan last summer to invite 22 teams to the NBA bubble.
Yeah,
imagine if that invitation had not gone out. We're not having this discussion right now.
And that's the part I love about DA's essay the most. He said that we had never been around each other to see each other at our worst moments. And we saw, like, we encountered each other like in the mornings when some people might be acting like jerks. And you go, oh, okay, that's you as a jerk. Now I know you as a good dude. Now I also know you as a jerk, and it's cool. We're good. And it's the assimilation of really knowing the people you're with and really appreciating their goods, and their good parts and bad traits as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is really what it was. It was a forced communal event for the Phoenix Suns, and it helped grow them together.
Imagine if every organization on the planet had to do that. You had to go into a bubble to live with your coworker.
Can you imagine that?
Wasn't that the idea of football?
Gambo, stop box jumping. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to get some sleep over here. Stop with the bench pressing. It's 6 a.m.
Doug, I know the continental breakfast is complimentary, but take the muffins out of your pockets.
Yeah, right.
But wasn't that the idea of the old school NFL training camps?
A lot of it
is that,
yeah.
You sort of, you know, you go up and you live in a dorm or something with your teammates for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the old school. It's forced habitation.
That's why I'm putting together. This is breaking news here.
Uh-huh.
I'm putting together the first 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station weekend retreat for the whole staff, just to go up and, you know, somewhere peaceful in the woods and get close. No, that's not going to happen.
I mean, if it's during the middle of the summer, I'll go up north anywhere you want.
Yeah, that might not be the greatest idea. But, yeah, if you haven't read that that piece, it's called We Dem Boys by DeAndre Ayton on theplayerstribune.com. Win a pair of tickets to Game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. Just text TICKET to 620-620. Listen for your name every hour starting at 7 a.m. tomorrow for your chance to win Phoenix Suns playoff tickets. That is TICKET to 620-620. We're halfway through on this Monday. Bick's got your blast next. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.